to the very important question, is the King James Bible the final received text? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is truth, and that the Spirit of truth is present and guiding us into that truth. That means, Lord, that by the Spirit you're leading us to understand the word, each one of us, each person, Lord, and that by your ministers you're showing forth truth to people. We thank you for this. Also being present in the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Is the King James Bible the final received text? And first of all, we're going to look at the word received, because when we come to the Word of God, we see that God has given the Word, and if God has given something, giving requires reception by people. So in Psalm 68 verse 11, we see a very clear scripture that says that God has given the word. And if it's given, the only proper and right thing to do is to receive the good gifts that God gives. The good gifts that come from the Father of lights. Psalm 68 and verse 11. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. We see God has given the word. We see more than that, that not only did he give the word, but how did the word pass through the earth? It says, great was the company of those, of the people, of the preachers. Great was the company of those that published it. So this shows that God's word, when it comes into the earth, that he gave the word, he inspired that word, you know. For example, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to some church, but that word didn't just fall away, you know, that piece of paper got lost and that was the end of the story. No, something happened. God made sure that word went, and that people in the church that got that letter, for example, they made copies of it and it went around, and other churches read what Paul wrote and they made copies of it and it went all around. So eventually in time, and even in a short amount of time, all throughout Europe and other places, there was copies of what Paul had written to a particular church. What does this say? God gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. But this same thing has happened all the way through time, so that not only was it a small company of people that were publishers of it, but that in fact is a great increase. Great was the company. In other words, the word has gone out more and more, being dispersed abroad, like that sower scattering the seeds, has been put out everywhere, all over the place, even to the uttermost part of the earth. So it's gone abroad everywhere. That word has been given by God in that method and manner. This means that we, as people here today, we should be receivers of the word. As the church has gone forth, as the preaching of the word has gone forth, we respond to the gospel message and we be receivers of the word. We receive from the Spirit of God the work of being born again, but we also are receiving, as through the church, the gospel which Jesus Christ has put in the church by the apostles and prophets, and that has been preached throughout ages and has come even to us, so that we here today believe that we've been born again and know what it means to be born again, because the gospel has come forth in the world. If we look in Matthew 28 verse 20, we see this very thing that Christ speaks of, the giving of the word to people in the world is by the church. That means that people in the church have responded to the word. That's how people become part of the church. And also, people in the world, when they hear the word and respond, be born again, they also are becoming part of the church. And it's because the word of God is coming forth even to them. Let's see what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. Now in verse 19 he said, go therefore and teach all nations. So the teaching or the giving of the word goes forth. And verse 20 says, teaching them, nations that is, them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice that Christ is telling his church to teach nations to observe his very words. How can, let's say, a nation today observe to do exactly what Christ has commanded if we have to go to broken pieces of paper with only half of the original writings in copied form on them and rely on scholars who understand the hidden and mysterious intricacies of the original languages, who themselves dispute among themselves, and then rely on all these factors of corruption through time and heretics and everything else, and then say, well, we've got the gospel that we can follow exactly? If we're relying on something like that, that's a very weak thing, and how can we believe a gospel like that? But if we're relying on that God through His church, that God by the Holy Ghost has superintended over the church, has worked through His ministers in when they were making copies, that somehow or other, we know it's by God's, what is called His providential care, God looking over the provision of His word, made sure that the right words went at the right times to the right places, that at the right time the printing press was invented, that at the right time a man called Erasmus, he went and got Greek manuscripts in the time of Reformation, and Martin Luther got those and printed a German New Testament, and William Tyndale got those and printed an English New Testament, that was all happening at the right time so that everyone everywhere could come into access of the very words of Christ that stretched and were accurately copied all the way back through the church, through history, even through the Dark Ages, all the way back to the time of the apostles, their own hands themselves putting pen to paper when the Holy Ghost was right there inspiring the word. Once we understand this, we understand that God's not weak but strong in order to keep His words, as Christ said here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The words to the apostles go all the way through time, so that we today in English, which is a different language to what Jesus was speaking, but we have exactly the words that Christ spoke. We don't have a corrupt version. We don't have words that, well, might be what Christ said, or we don't know for this and that and the other reason, but we can be confident that because there's so many copies and so many people through the ages and so many people have seen the vindication of the scriptures and so many things have come together at the right times in the right places, it cannot be anything else than that God was providing these words even to us today. And this is an important thing to understand, that we're looking at the providences or the way which God has provided His word to us through history, even by the church, to this very day. Let's also look in Mark chapter 13 verse 10. Jesus gives a prophecy here in Mark 13 verse 10. Now I said that the word has come even to us today, and we should believe that. In Mark 13 verse 10, Jesus gave a prophecy that before the end, that is before He would return for the church, something would happen with that word that He's given. Something would happen to His commandments. Something would happen and it would fulfill what He commanded in Matthew 28, which was that the gospel would be taught and that people would believe the gospel, even of all nations, and even certain whole nations respond. As we see here in Mark chapter 13 verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, that word among says it goes everywhere, doesn't it? Remember what we read in Psalm 68 verse 11? We read that great was the company of those that published it. Well, that word publish, it really links to today's situation, doesn't it? Because we have, for example, the publishing by books or press, and we also have what's called electronic publishing, which is what the internet really is all about. It's about you put something on there and it go, and anyone anywhere in the world who has access by the telephone line and by a computer anywhere can go in and grab copies or read on their computer screen the Word of God. So what does that tell us? That the Word of God is gone, and is going forth to go everywhere in the whole world, and that the preaching of the gospel is going forward and going everywhere. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13, we see what the response is of believers. So we understand the word is gone forth, And a person who responds to the word, responds to the preaching, responds to the very words of Christ, to the very words of the Bible, even just the words of the Bible by themselves, they're going forth, and this is the response that believers should have in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we see two factors here. One is that God is able to get his word to people far away, and accurately too, by the way. And two, that that word has power in it. So there's two factors here. It has power in the external, that is, that the very words can pass through time. That's by books and by copies and by people spreading it everywhere. So there's the external factor of God's power. And the internal factor is that when people hear it, they respond to it, believe, and things happen in their life, their heart is changed, and they're not filthy sinners. They've become believers of the gospel and believers and live being cleansed by the washing of the water of the word of God. So their souls are being purified as they believe it and are able to read it even every day because they have copies of the scripture available to them that, you know, their eyes can behold and see the words of the Lord even in their own hand that they're holding it. And besides that, there's preachers going forth everywhere, as we know. Paul also said about how beautiful are the feet of those that preach glad tidings of good things. So the gospel is going forth. James chapter 1 verse 21 shows us that it is a requirement for salvation that we receive the word of our salvation. James 1 verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So right there that tells us that the word should be available. He wouldn't give a command like that if you can't have the word of God available to you. If the book you're holding in your hand right now is less than the word of God, then this command and this scripture is just another useless word in that book you're holding. But no, we see that altogether the words of the scripture and the book that you're holding all the way through is proving itself to be the very word of God, even by the very fact and by the very virtue that it is in your hand and the power of it that has been demonstrated in your life and the lives of people around you, and as you can see it going forth into the world. You have received the word of God. So here we come now to considering that the King James Bible is the final received text. We see, first of all, that the word has been given and is received. But in what form is it given and what form is it received? We look in Matthew chapter 5 verse 18 to see that it has to do with the very words that Christ wants to be accurately kept and presented in an accurate way. Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, because there's a lot of inaccuracy around, a lot of words around that are doubtful words, a lot of words that are around that are trying to bring things into alignment with the ideas of men. But Christ is all about accurate words. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 18, he said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass," well, that hasn't happened yet, has it? "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." That's saying that every little letter in the Bible is important and that it's full of prophetical things, prophetical statements about what it shall accomplish. And one major prophetical idea that's underlying all scripture is that it's going to go forth and be received, and even before the end come, be published among all nations, and that people should, and as they have already historically for many years, respond to it. So we see that the gospel increases and goes forth, and that the word of God becomes more and more prevalent in places and is generally accessible everywhere. In Isaiah 34 verse 16 we find a very key scripture. Isaiah 34:16. And this is a very accurate and very powerful prophecy. A prophecy that's talking about the accuracy or the very importance of every component of the Word of God going forth. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16. So this prophet has, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago given this prophecy, and this is what he said. Isaiah 34:16. He said, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." Notice that the commandment here is to seek ye out of the book of the Lord. Did he say seek ye out of various books, or in the plethora of manuscripts available, find the word that suits you? Or did he say, you know, you have to learn the secret things to unlock what the word of the book of the Lord is for you? No, we find a scripture that's saying, seek ye out of the book of the Lord, which means there must be one book and a book that's available to be found. If we take that by faith today, you know what that's telling us? It's telling us that we should be able to look around today and find the book of the Lord. Plainly and utterly, that's what the scripture is telling us. What did he say? To seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. What's he saying? That Gentile people in another faraway place, and there's many scriptures to back this up, in another faraway place can get the word and read it. Does that say, seek ye out of the Hebrew and read it? No, it just says seek out of the book of the Lord and read. So that implies that any person today, by the way, in the world that is graduating towards speaking English in many nations, everywhere, people doing that, are able to seek out of the book of the Lord if they had a heart to do that, and if they came to understand to do that, and in fact the scripture is promising that they should be able to do that, that they should be able to seek out of the book of the Lord and read it. Straight away read it. It didn't say and go through a long process of trying to comprehend or anything. No, they're just able to read that book. Read that one book. So one book, this is what we're really saying, is one book established and settled for the world to read it, to find it and read it. No one of these shall fail. No prophecy in that book. No prophecy of the word of God should fail. None shall want her mate. No word shall be missing or out of place. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Well, we understand this as a type, and we understand this to be prophetically referring to the words that might have been scattered, the manuscripts or copies of what Paul wrote or what Moses wrote might have been scattered everywhere. What has happened? We find this statement here, and his spirit it hath gathered them. See, today we're not looking at 500 different manuscripts and saying this is all variously got bits and pieces of the word in its fragmented form. You see, that's what the translators of the Bible had to do. They had to look at all these widespread amounts of information. We don't have to do that today. The world doesn't have to do that today at all. Why? Because one book of the Lord has been made, bringing together, and in fact it was a process through time, from the Reformation time. It happened for about 100 years, so it was from 1517 to 1611, happened where they were bringing together into one printed volume the words of the Lord that were everywhere, bringing together into printed volumes so that a person could just get one book and read accurately the true word that had been passed down. Words that had been preserved in very many different places and in different languages, for example, some words out of Latin, and in the Greek copies, lots of Greek copies, and they could look at the translations into French and into Italian that were made at that time. They could look at those and all together and consider all the old versions. There was a lot of old versions as well, like in the Syrian language and in the Chaldean language. So there was old versions, and they could look at them all, and they brought them together, and they were able to make in one book, one text of the Bible, which was answering back to what God had originally given. But you know when God gave the word, he gave it all in bits and pieces over time. You know that. When Moses wrote, that was a long time before Jesus lived. So by the time Moses' words had been copied, they were all in by themselves in scrolls. And then when, let's say, Luke was writing his book, he was writing, and that was in other copies on other bits of paper, and that was going everywhere as well. So you had copies of Moses, you had copies of Luke. But what had to happen with all those? It all comes together and makes one book called the Bible. So it comes together and then accurately comes together. So we have an accurate Bible, not just any old version, but an accurate version of the Bible. Let's look in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, because we see here that the coming together or gathering together of these words in one volume of the book is in fact something that God has worked at and has been able to do in the earth. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. You'll be familiar with these verses. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." So there was Moses writing pure words. There was Luke writing pure words, or the Apostle Paul. But what had to happen? Those words, they went forth. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And then verse 7 says, "Thou shalt keep them," that means the words, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So the words, they went forth, they came together at the Reformation time when the printing press was being used to print Bibles, both Old Testament portions and New Testament portions, and that they were coming together into whole Bibles, such as the ones that were printed in English and so on. They were all showing God's work of coming together of the words of the book of the Lord, and that it was a purifying work that the Lord was doing, so that, for example, in English, we know that there was different English versions. In fact, there were seven of them, and this matches up with these words in this verse, that as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So that's a very pure thing. It's a process that happened over time, because as we know that happened, the Christians, they got together or they made a translation, and then people looked at that and said, yes, we can improve on that, and they got together and they made a translation, and then the people, maybe the bishops, looked at that and said, oh, we can make a better translation than that, but we'll use all this information that you've already got and we'll make a better translation in English. And the people that were in another place, they made a translation as well. So by the time when King James became King of England, there was all these different translations in English. And then he said that he would want to make one more exact translation into English. That would be the final translation. One more exact translation. That's exactly what the translators of the King James Bible knew they were doing. That's a direct quote of their words. One more exact translation in the English tongue. You can see that in the front of your Bible if you've got that epistle printed in the front, where you'll see those words printed in there. One more exact translation into the English tongue. Okay, so this is talking about one volume of the book with the exact words in English, and now we find that English has been spoken all over the world, so we must understand that there is one word that God is able to use to get to the world with, which is a purified word. A word that's in one volume of the book and goes forth now in power, and people respond to the gospel that is not another gospel, but the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll read to you a quote of what one scholar said. His name was Edward Hills. He wrote a book called The King James Version Defended. It was printed in 1984, and it was printed by the Christian Research Press in Iowa, USA. It was from page 220. He said, "The King James Version ought to be regarded not merely as a translation of the Textus Receptus," which means the Greek text that was brought together into one volume, "so not merely a translation of the Greek Bible, but also as an independent variety of the Textus Receptus." That is, that in one book in English, it had come together as a final form of all the scattered bits of information. It all came together under the time of King James under him, when those translators got together by his commandment and they made the King James Version from 1604 to 1611 when it was printed. And this has been recognised universally by literary people and everyone who know it is the best translation of the Bible and is the monument of Anglo-Saxon prose. Is the Bible that's had more effect in the world for Jesus Christ than any other book, any other version, that it is the book that's gone forth more widespreadly and everywhere to other continents. It went to America, it went into Asia by missionaries, it went into Africa by missionaries, it went everywhere, it came to Australia with the first fleet, everywhere, went forth, and it's the word that has had more impact and being more connected with God's moves. You just think about the time of John Wesley when there was a revival in England. What Bible was John Wesley preaching from that people were using at John Wesley's time? It was the King James Bible. And what happened at the time when it was time for William Booth and the Salvation Army? They were using the King James Bible too, weren't they? And there was great impact. And what happened when Smith Wigglesworth and the Pentecostal preachers were preaching the Bible? They were using the King James Bible. And even the faith preachers in America, like Kenneth Hagin, he was using the King James Bible. So we can see there's a direct link. The Puritans, in the time from King James the First onwards, they were using the King James Bible. You saw the whole nation of England become a Puritan nation for a period of time because of the King James Bible. Not because of some other version, but because of the King James Bible. And the evidence is that when they were printing Bibles at that time, and you can see it in the 1650s, they were printing, the Cambridge University Press was printing the King James Bible. So it is the Bible that's more associated with blessing and the increase of the gospel and missionary works and going forth and increasing of doctrine. It is the volume of the book that God is using and has used, and the signs are that he's using it to get his perfect law into the earth. And we know that in Psalm 19 verse 7, let's have a look there. Psalm 19 verse 7, it tells us that the law of God is not mishmash, it's not in bits and pieces, but it is a law that is perfect. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So this is God's way of getting his word out, is through this English Bible. No longer do people speak Greek, that is the biblical Greek, or the Greek from that time. No longer are people speaking the Hebrew from the Bible times, but it has all come together in a language that everyone's speaking even today. It is the same language that's been around from before the time of Shakespeare, as we know, which is the English language, and that the Bible that we have in English is now able to be the Bible for the whole world. You know, the translation of the King James Bible was done by a whole group of people that were more learned from the universities of Oxford and Cambridge and from Westminster. They were more learned than all the people that were calling themselves Protestants throughout the world at that time and even to the present time. They were more learned in the languages. They were more advanced in doctrine than their contemporaries. They were the very ones that God had raised up for that time period to do this translation. King James was a very wise king, and he wrote a lot of books and things, so he was knowing what he was doing, that it was a good thing for the advance of Christendom, that is, the true gospel going forth and its influence even to other countries. That's why America became such a big country. That's why the blessing has continued even in our very lives in this country that we live in today in Australia. If we look in Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5, and we're seeing that we want to receive exactly what God has given, not, you know, well, you can have any modern translation and update the King James Bible and vary on different words or whatever. Well, we don't want to have that doctrine, because that's a doctrine of confusion. It's a doctrine of unbelief. It's a doctrine of undermining everything that God's power has accomplished in getting the word to its present state and even its future state. Proverbs 30 verse 5, let's have a look at that. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse, Proverbs 30 verse 5, it says, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You can see that God's word is pure. Do you want to be reading a version of the Bible that's in, you know, in slang with swear words in it and that just doesn't make sense to what God actually means? No, you don't want that at all. You want a word that's accurate. Even if it has hard words in it, at least it's going to be accurate to the ideas that were right there when Paul was writing it. Because, you know, when the Apostle John was writing his epistles, you know, he could have just been writing just any old thing, but he had to communicate exactly what God wanted to get across. So if he had to talk about the propitiation, well, that's a word in the King James Bible that might be a hard word to understand, the propitiation. That we, when we just become a little bit learned in the Bible, we understand that the propitiation, for example, is the payment that Jesus Christ made to appease the wrath of God through the shedding of his blood. When we understand Bible Connection by Pastor Craig Savage as available through Victory Faith Centre, and on page 9 of this booklet, which you all can have a look at and read and have a copy for yourselves, freely available. The Authorised King James Bible is the final form of the received text of history. The fact that it is in English is no coincidence, but part of God's plan to use this global language as the medium by which the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24, verse 14. The Authorised King James Bible has been received by the New Testament priesthood, that is, true believers in Christ, see Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, as the very Word of God, preserved by God throughout history. So what's this telling us? That the final form of what God wants to get to the world as the gospel going forth by the church to the nations is the Word of God, is in the King James Bible. I want to read to you a quote of what Dean Burgeon said. He wrote this in 1882, and it's a significant word, and he said in this book called The Revision Revised, and it was a reprint of an article that he wrote in 1882. This book itself has been published and made available through the Dean Burgeon Society in Collingswood, New Jersey, USA, and it was also originally printed in England, but you can't get it anymore unless you get the copies now through America. You can also get it on the internet. If you look it up on the internet, you can find it. I'm reading from page 113 of this booklet. And it says, "It may be confidently assumed that no revision of our authorised version will ever occupy the place in public esteem which is actually enjoyed by the work of the translators of 1611, the noblest literary work in the Anglo-Saxon language. We shall, in fact, never have another authorised version." That's what Dean Burgeon said. He knew there wasn't going to be another authorised version. What does that imply for us? It implies that, in fact, the authorised version as we have it today is the final word that we must receive and say, yes, all of God's truth is here. There is no need to improve on it in any way. There is no way you can improve on it. There is no thing in there that's imperfect or part in part or partial or not matching up with what God's will is. But in fact, every word from the start of Genesis all the way through Revelation in the King James Bible is exactly the words that God has used, is using, and will use, and is in fact really the fulfillment of that prophecy, and we'll see it with our eyes, of the gospel going forth among all nations, and before the end come, the gospel reaching in the world, which is a pure word. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the truth of the scripture and how that you'll use us in regard to preaching your word and bringing out the understanding of that the King James Bible is the final received text that we should receive and know that you've used many men in history to bring this word to us and that you will also use us in the bringing forth of it. Not just as an idea that's wonderful, Lord, but that it has, because it is the word of God, it has in it the very pure word that is the word that is fully able to change people's hearts, is able to make an impact in their life because the Word of God is with power, and this is the way by which the power of the Word of God is most best revealed and worked by. And Lord, we receive the pure words. We don't want to have partial words which will lead to having partial faith. We want to have full words so our faith, by hearing the true and full Word of God, will be complete and will be growing in the full measure of increase 100-fold. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.